This is The Rich Eisen Show.
So, what's the latest on love?
The Rich Eisen Show.
The first two preseason games, for me, enough that I need to see.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I saw the clip that your show account tweeted the other day, and I responded to it with the gift from my favorite Christmas movie, I'm Polar Express, with the conductor of Polar Express saying, "All aboard."
Today's guests from the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Mike Wright and Jason Moore. ESPN college football and NFL analyst Robert Griffin III. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number one of the show is great, filled with fantasy football conversation with two of the hosts of the most popular podcast in sports at present, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with Jason Moore and Mike Wright. We're here on the show. If you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel at the end of the show. Two more hours still to go. There's our podcast version of our own. Please check it out. All 3 hours, every single day, hit the subscribe button on the RSS feed, the Rich Eisen Podcast Network, home to this show all 3 days. Overreaction Monday, Chris Brockman and I bringing that popular segment to you in podcast form every single Monday during the season. Brockman is out in Kansas City for the day for his fantasy draft. Susie Schuster is in his spot right there. Susie and Amy Trask will be hosting the new podcast on the Rich Eisen Podcast Network called What the Football every single Tuesday. So that's the way we roll here on this show. Mike Del Tufo is in his spot. Good to see you over there, sir.
Morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson in his spot as always. And you, where you are, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. We will take your calls. What's more likely coming up in this hour as well? Chris Brockman has left those behind for Susie to administrate here on this program. But we turn to the phone lines right now and welcome in one of my favorites, the great Robert Griffin III from the worldwide leader in sports. How are you, RG3?
I'm doing good, Rich, and as always, appreciate you having me on, brother.
Anytime. I love chopping it up with you, talking ball, and you know, you always shoot it straight. And you popped a tweet out I think a few days ago, and man, you didn't tell any lies in your mind, for sure. And I want to know what you think here. The 49ers were done with Trey Lance the second they brought in Sam Darnold and made it an open competition for the backup job. I give you the floor on what you meant by that, Robert.
Yeah, Rich, I heard that you don't agree with that statement. And there's a reason. There's a reason I worded it the way that I did. I don't believe that the 49ers were done with Trey Lance when they brought Sam Darnold in. But the second it became or was proclaimed that it was an open competition and that these guys were competing to be the backup, essentially, that's when I felt like it was over. I don't understand how a guy like Trey Lance, who you traded the farm for to go up and get, also he was your starter going into week one last year, and he gets hurt, all of a sudden now turns around in year three, and he's competing to be QB2 with Sam Darnold, who's been on multiple teams now. That doesn't make much sense to me. So what it seems like is that what they saw from Trey Lance, whether it be in practice or in the games, the limited game action that he got over the past 2 years, they said, you know what, he's either going to figure it out or we got to give up on this guy. And, Rich, you've said it. A lot of people have said it. This normally does not happen when you trade up so much to go get a quarterback and your head coach and your GM are safe. But because they fell into a guy like Brock Purdy, the last pick in the draft, they're able to kind of skirt by, even though they made a colossal mistake in trading up so much to get Trey Lance now that he's their QB3.
Well, and that's why, and I appreciate you, hearing what I had to say. And I did say I would bring it up with you when you came on the show. And that's why I got right to it with you, Robert, is, you know, when they got Darnold, Brock Purdy's right throwing elbow had just been surgically repaired. So if Lance wasn't going to be ready to go himself, they needed another option, and they brought Darnold in. I thought they brought Darnold in as Purdy insurance to begin with, and he wound up beating out Lance. So I just don't know if I took your tweet to mean that you just didn't think Lance had it in him, is why I wanted to bring that up. You just didn't think Lance is – the minute you bring in a guy with 55 – career starts and Darnold into the system, Lance was toast, and the Niners knew it, and they just wanted to see it play out to confirm it. Is that what you're saying? or am I misreading
it? No, not what I'm saying at all. I think this is what I believe. No one in the league will tell you that Sam Darnold doesn't throw a pretty ball. He's got a howitzer on him, right? He can make every single throw on the football field. But the 55 starts that he's had in the league, no one would also say, man, you bring that guy in and whoever's in front of him, he's toast. They wouldn't say that either. So that's why I worded the tweet the way that I did, because I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers believe in Trey Lance. I don't believe that. So because of that, them bringing in Sam Darnold wasn't the problem. It was the fact that they brought in Sam Darnold and then they leaked it out to all of their inside NFL insiders and information people that Sam Darnold has an opportunity to potentially start for the 49ers if Brock Purdy is not ready to go. That, to me, is where it became a problem, and that happened almost immediately when Sam Darnold got there. It was everywhere. Darnold's killing it. Darnold's doing this. Darnold's doing that. And to me, I just feel like with Trey Lance in that situation, he just wasn't really given a true opportunity to go out and prove it.
What would you counsel Trey Lance to do right now, Robert?
Well, you know, Rich, I listened to your show, and because I like you, and I think you guys do a phenomenal job, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I'm going to echo what some other people have said that are in the know there in San Francisco, and Trey Lance needs to stay in San Francisco. The coach that drafted him, the GM that drafted him, although they don't have pie on their face right now because they found Brock Purdy, they're going to be more loyal to him than any other team will. Because at the end of the day, if things don't work out with Brock Purdy, they don't work out with Sam Darnold, and somehow, some way, Trey Lance gets an opportunity and he shines in San Fran, it's just going to be even more praise that goes on top of the GM and the head coach because they stuck with him. But they have, I don't want to say an obligation, but they're more willing to give him time to develop than a new organization will be. And I just would hate to see Trey Lance bounce around the league to 3, 4, 5 teams and be out of the league in a couple of years because other teams weren't willing to give him enough time to develop. I think the Niners still will do that if everything that they've said to the press is the truth and that they still believe in Trey and they want him to be there.
So, and it would make sense for them to hold on to him because if any team knows that you need a fourth quarterback, it's them, right? So he would be the third going in, but I understand if he has hard feelings, difficult feelings right now that he'd have to get over, for the lack of a better phrase. Which team, however, Robert Griffin III, would you counsel to go get Trey Lance? Which one would you say should go get him right now if he's available?
Wow. I mean, that's a tough one, you know, Rich, because with a guy like Trey Lance, the bottom line is he needs to play. You outlined it yesterday perfectly about just how he hasn't been able to really catch a break at any point, it feels like, since his last year in college. You know, you talk about him only playing one game because of COVID. Then he comes in, and as a rookie, he's got Jimmy G there. You know, he comes in, he plays decently early. When he's playing a couple spot duty type of things, but Jimmy G takes over, he gets hurt, comes back the next year, gets hurt. I just don't know if teams out there will give him the opportunity to truly go out there and ride the roller coaster of what it can be like sometimes with a young quarterback. So it's hard to give a team, you know, to be quite honest with you, Rich. I don't know. A team that needs a starter right now but's going to have time to wait on a guy like that, that's a tough ask. You know, you just saw Baker Mayfield win the job in Tampa. Would that be a decent spot for Trey Lance to go? Yeah, it would, because he's got great weapons around him. But that's a team that's also trying to win right now. So are they going to give him the grace period that he's going to need for 7, 8 games to try to figure it out? I don't know.
Robert Griffin.
But there aren't very many teams in the league that do a great job of developing quarterbacks right now. And, you know, he's basically going to become the new Sam Darnold when it comes to being a reclamation project. And some coaches will be willing to take that on for sure.
Robert Griffin III getting set to be out there on Monday Night Football on ESPN before kickoff every single Monday on the Worldwide Leader in Sports right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What'd you glean from Ravens versus Washington at all, Robert? What'd you get there? What'd you get out of that?
We talked about this, Rich, with the Ravens on Monday Night Countdown, that they are the only ones that truly care about the record. you know, that preseason record. So I know
Washington sure looked like they cared about it, Robert. They said all week they didn't, and then they, you know, they were grittying in the end zone and they were celebrating at the end. I mean, sure looked like they enjoyed breaking that up to me watching that game.
Yes, you know, a little battle of Beltway there going on between the Ravens and the Commanders. Sam Cosmi, you know, doing the gritty in the end zone, I thought was funny. I also heard that, you know, or witnessed them play their starters well into you know, the throughout the first half to try to secure that. But at the end of the day, I know a lot of people think that record doesn't matter. I, for one, having been a Baltimore Raven and been coached by Coach Harbaugh, I know that for a fact they absolutely care about the record. They believe it shows off great coaching, depth of the roster, and all those things. And what, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So they're always trying to win. But for sure, Rich, I agree with you. After Cosmi's comments about taking the record, the Commanders definitely came showing up to that preseason game like it was a real game.
Okay. And so two things. Sam Howell looks like he has it. Robert, what do you think? What do you think?
Yes, I'm I am in on slinging Sammy Howell. I'm telling you guys, I watched the guy in college at North Carolina. Beautiful deep ball. I think people underestimate his athleticism and his ability to use his legs. He's a great runner in high school. He was a great runner his last year there at North Carolina. And at the end of the day, I know Scary Terry with his turf toe injury might not be available for the first game or earlier in the year. But these guys, they've got so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball that it's going to make it a little bit easier for Sam to kind of go out there and make plays. The one touchdown throw he had, I believe, 2 weeks ago to Jahan Dotson on like a sail route, it wasn't a perfect ball, but Dotson made a great catch and then ran it in for a touchdown. It's plays like that, or as I like to call them, Rich, HBO type of plays, help a brother out. He's going to have those all over the place with the weapons that they have on offense. And then Eric Bieniemy, I think, is going to be big for him as well. Having worked with Mahomes for so many years, I'm just a believer in Sam Howell's ability. And what he's shown in the preseason gives me no doubt that he can go out there and be QB1 for the Commanders.
Well, and with Odell and on the other side of the field with the Ravens, Odell, Zay Flowers, there could be some more HBO plays for, I guess, Lamar if this offense looks anything like we're assuming it to be. What did you glean at all from the preseason, from what you've heard, from who you talked to? What is the Ravens offense going to look like? One of the biggest mysteries going into the season in my
Yeah, Rich, you're 100% accurate and right about the HBO help a brother out type of play for Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, or as I like to say it, the Ravens stopped using Splenda. They decided to get that original brown sugar for their offense. They have been relying on Lamar Jackson to do everything for them for the past 4 or 5 years, and now he's going to have an opportunity to have guys like OBJ, to have guys like Zay Flowers, who has been the rave of camp. You get back Rashad Bateman healthy. You got Mark Andrews, one of the best tight ends in the entire NFL, who continues to produce year after year after year. J.K. Dobbins is back. Gus Edwards, Justice Hill. I know all of these guys because a lot of them were my teammates when I was there in Baltimore. But I also went to practice last week and was able to watch those guys up close and personal. And what you're going to see from this offense is just a whole lot more control of it at the line of scrimmage from Lamar Jackson. With Greg Roman, he would go to the line with two play calls, canned system. Everyone that's in NFL circles knows what that is. But now he's going to have an opportunity to go to the line of scrimmage and basically have the entire playbook at his disposal so he can play the game based off how he sees it. And Todd Monken has trusted him to do that, something that he hasn't been trusted to do in Baltimore before, but now he is. And talking to Lamar, he's super excited about that because it allows him to play the game a little bit more free. Which if you watch him play, he loves to play it free.
A few more minutes left with one of my favorites from Monday Night Countdown and ESPN. We've got Robert Griffin III here on the Rich Eisen Show. The rookie quarterback who will have the best season is?
Ooh, the rookie that'll have the best season? I think it'll be Bryce Young. I think the support system he has around him with the coaches is phenomenal. You know, Josh McCown being his quarterback coach, one of my former teammates, I just think there's not a better guy that he could have got as a quarterback coach to start this thing out. And then the way they built the roster around him, giving him experience, guys like, you know, Adam Thielen, and for, you know, Miles Sanders coming there at running back. And Bryce's ability, like, you haven't really been able to see it, I feel like, in the preseason because they've been a little rocky for them. But once the season gets going and they start game planning for these defenses, I think you're going to see his true special qualities come out. But I think it's just the situation he's in is going to allow him to have the best season because of what the team around him looks like right now.
What if the Colts somehow solve what's going on with Jonathan Taylor and get him on the field for Anthony Richardson? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, Rich, what you're going to see out of Anthony Richardson is a little bit of what you saw his last year in college, right? He's going to have games. I called his game against Texas A&M last year, and he was on fire. I think he threw for 200, ran for 100, you know, had two throwing touchdowns, a couple rushing, and he hit all the easy plays, made them look easy, and then the spectacular plays, he made them look spectacular. But then you're also going to have some games like he did last year against Missouri when you know, receivers are dropping passes, he's a little off rhythm, and I think that's the roller coaster the Colts are going to be on. But to really answer your question, I have no clue, Rich, why they are trying to trade Jonathan Taylor. If I am Anthony Richardson, I am saying, what are we doing, people? This guy's been our best offensive player for the past three, four years through the quarterback carousels of all the starting quarterbacks. Why not keep this guy here? Because he's going to make my job easier as a quarterback. If I'm Anthony Richardson, he can't say anything, obviously, because he's a rookie. But I'm like sending, you know, making blocked phone calls to Jim Irsay saying, come on, man, don't get rid of this guy. He's the bread and butter of our offense. And I think he makes everybody's job easier, not just the quarterback.
And again, this is no insider information when I say this, Robert Griffin III. I'm just this looks to me like Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay saying to Jonathan Taylor, look, man, we love you. You're not happy here. You want to go somewhere else. We will pay you. You know, we'll talk about the contract after the season, but not now. That's just the way we're going to do it. And if you don't like it and you say you want to be traded, well, there's the door. And, you know, and I totally understand that you say, you know, why would they trade him? Don't trade him. The compensation they're asking back for him is kind of indicating to everyone they don't intend to trade him, because who is going to trade Christian McCaffrey type return and pay a guy who 2 weeks before the season and just totally change all of their plans at running back for this year in salary cap for years in advance? I mean, who's going to just do that on the fly? It is possible, but it's not likely, you know? And so that's what I think is at play right now. If I had to guess, that's what's at play right now.
Yeah, Rich, and you've been around for a long time, so you understand, you know, just how the thought process goes for these executives. And they know they have all the leverage with Jonathan Taylor right now. Because it's so close to the season, everything that you mentioned, it plays a part for sure. Because everybody else in the league seems to be pretty much set at the running back position. Mm-hmm. We were having conversations off air on Monday Night Countdown, and we're like, well, what are the best teams for Jonathan Taylor to go to that really would, you know, would warrant that type of Christian McCaffrey return? And it was hard to find one that, you know, man, they just really need a running back, and that'll put them over the top. Yes, Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the league, and he would be an upgrade for a lot of teams, but is he a necessary upgrade for the amount of draft capital you're going to have to give up? I don't really see that for a team right now. But, yes, he's in a bad spot. He can either, you know, continue to request a trade, and maybe it does happen, maybe it doesn't. But when you look at the Colts as a team, you got this young quarterback in there. Why would you want to have this much controversy and this much of a media firestorm around something when you're trying to develop this young quarterback? I don't think that is a smart business plan, and maybe that's what Jonathan Taylor and his agent are looking at to say, hey, we can either start off this relationship with Anthony Richardson on a positive note or a negative note. It's your call. And I think they're both just trying to call each other's bluff.
And obviously the entire dynamic we just chopped up could change if there's a significant injury at that position for a team that is Super Bowl ready over the weekend, a la, say, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, not to speak anything into existence like that. But that may be what is the last step to see what happens from there on out, which, you know, is a leads me to my final question for you. Anything can obviously change over this weekend in the next 13 days, but I don't know if I'm going to get you back on before the beginning of the season, so I will ask you. You're the first time asking this. your Super Bowl prediction for this upcoming season, Robert Griffin III. What do you have for me right now?
My Super Bowl prediction.
Yes, sir. I know. You're going to be asked this by every producer in your life over the next 13 days, and you're going to have to say it, but I figured I'd get you while I got you. You know?
No, you're 100% right. I would give it a couple contingencies, obviously.
Understood.
If the Ravens stay healthy, I believe the Baltimore Ravens will win the Super Bowl this year. I just think with Lamar Jackson, with those weapons, if he stays healthy the entire season, he now has the Jimmys and the Joes to help him in the playoffs. X's and O's has always got them there, and his obviously unique ability. But now he's got the Jimmys and the Joes that can make some plays when you need them late in the playoffs, like we've seen from all the other, you know, Super Bowl winning teams out there. If the Chiefs get Chris Jones back and that doesn't become something that goes late into the season, that's a very popular pick. I think they win it and they build that dynasty. They become a dynasty from that standpoint. It's hard to do this business, you know that, Rich, because everyone wants to pick the off-the-wall pick that's going to win so they can come back later and say, I told you so. I don't play by those rules. I just go by what I see. I know what the Ravens have. I know what they can do. And the Kansas City Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, and they've done an amazing job retooling everything around him, and that defense will be much better as long as they get Chris Jones.
And if your NFC team that you believe those teams would beat in Vegas is, who was your NFC team? You got to choose both. Come
NFC
on now.
Team.
Come on now.
That's a tough one too, but I'm gonna go with the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. I think Jalen Hurts is gonna come into the year even more confident than he was last year. If he was at all not confident, he went out and performed like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So I don't know how the Eagles did it, Rich, but they went into the offseason, they lost more talent than any top team in the league, and still found a way to get better. I don't know how they did it. On defense, with Jalen Carter and bringing in Nolan Smith from Georgia, retooling basically Georgia's national championship defense. And I think on offense, they'll be even more in rhythm. Jalen will now have his quarterback coach calling plays for him. I think they're gonna be the team in the NFC.
You're the man, Robert. I truly love watching you, as you know, go about your career. And you're on Monday Night Countdown with a whole new cast, you know, Scott Van Pelt and the crew. I look forward to seeing it. And look for more of my calls and texts. As always, thank you for the time.
Hey, appreciate you, Rich.
Right back
God
at
bless,
you.
Brother.
Right back at you. Robert Griffin III. I adore my chats with him, his appearances here, and our friendship right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let me tell you, if it is Philadelphia versus the Ravens in the Super Bowl, brought to you by the Acela Amtrak Service and Wawa Supermarkets.
Wow.
What are they going to hand out? Free Utz potato chips? Is that what they're going to do?
We just had a full-on discussion about Wawa yesterday.
That's Philly versus Ballmer.
Right.
Okay, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH number to dial. Chris Brockman has left Susie with a great list of issues for me to decide what's more likely. That's still to come right here in hour number two.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep. Going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Here's a scoop, folks. You've got to check out right here on the Roku channel the documentary, The NFL Draft, The Pick Is In, NFL Films and the Roku Originals together for a terrific behind-the-scenes glimpse as to what happened at the draft this year. Here's a snippet. This is it. Get the hankies out. Chris Vaughn is a scout for the Cowboys who drafted his son after his son, Deuce Vaughn, dropped in the draft. Check it out.
Hello. Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working. Look here, man. You want to come to work with me next week?
I wouldn't mind that at all.
I got somebody want to speak to you.
We sure do. Yes, I'll tell you what. Steven, get him on here. Listen, I don't know when I've been speaking for everybody that's in here and everybody that's really in the heart of the Dallas Cowboys is standing here with a tear in our eye. We're so happy to have you on the Dallas Cowboys. And what I really want to say, you earned every ounce of me being able to make this call. Every ounce. And I'm so excited. There's just something magical about this moment that may be bigger than we even realize here talking to you on the phone. But you is now a Dallas Cowboy. Your daddy just handed the card in. Right here. It's got him on. Congratulations. And here's Coach McCarthy. Here's Coach Mike McCarthy.
I just got to tell you, that moment is just the culmination of about a 10-minute-long scene leading up to that. And that the card, there is no card. You know, you call the pick in. Yeah. Jerry wrote down the pick on a napkin to create a memento for Chris Vaughn.
So he could have
that. That is so beautiful.
That is so cool.
I'm telling you, you've got to watch this documentary. It's just a small part of it, and it's on the Roku channel.
I can't wait
back
to see
here
it.
On the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just saw a pretty neat snippet, a clip from the documentary NFL Draft. The pick is in. It's great.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Yeah. Just sort of the snippet of Deuce Vaughn being drafted. Chris Vaughn is the scout. And again, I don't want to give too much away. You've got to see it. But we just saw the moment where the Cowboys drafted him and his dad was the one who called up his son. You want to come to work with me next week? And you even went, oh,
I'm getting a dream, right?
Remember I came in the other day? I'm like, I saw the documentary. Yeah. And I'm like, and I've never had Jerry Jones bring me to tears.
But he did.
He was crying too.
Not yet.
No, I was crying. You know, it was.
That's just an awesome
really
moment,
was man. Something.
And, you know, to have Jerry say, welcome to the Cowboys, like, I think I told you, that time I got to spend and hang out with him, like, when I left his suite after the Super Bowl, he shook my hand, he looked me in the eye, and he said, I want to thank you for being a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's just like, how could I ever leave at this point? I'm like, that's La Familia, right, Mike? You know what I mean? We're family. Yeah. I kissed the ring at that point, Rich.
Well, you also see Chris Vaughn go through, like, he does get on the phone with his son as his son's dropping. And you hear the eavesdropping on the conversation because Chris is mic'd up. And when it was time for them to draft Deuce, he was out of the room when they were having the conversation.
Oh, he left? Or
he was talking to his son, okay. And then he was just doing work. He's just, can you imagine?
No.
Our kid being up for grabs and he's dropping and you have to go to work and it's your job to actually be in that business?
I'm so glad that they did this because I don't think people appreciate the emotionality of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And just when you get to know these kids, when you cover them in college football, and you get to know their parents and their families, and when you watch them drop in the draft, it's heartbreaking. Because, everyone's gathered, these events at people's houses, what have you.
Yeah, and you'll never forget it. Rodgers, I'm sure, still has that little bit of a chip on his shoulder. Tom Brady, after he had won the championships that he had won, and was living the life that he was living. Remember in the Brady 6 documentary, he was crying about remembering how his mother felt while he was dropping in the draft. He had to walk around the block, had to leave the house.
No, this Roku doc, I look at totally differently now from a mom's perspective.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. And, you know, you think of all those games that you drove your kids to and how many practices and when you're sitting there drafting them. It's pretty incredible to watch this documentary on Roku and just know the emotionality behind it. Every mom out there, you should watch this doc. It's really sensational.
Yeah, and it's right here on the Roku channel right now, and it's debuting tonight. There's some other great moments as well. We talked about it with Ian Rappaport the other day. They're embedded in the draft room with Carolina, Jacksonville, as well as Indianapolis. They're embedded in the draft room of the Dallas Cowboys, obviously. And Ian Rappaport is, again, was on the other day. They followed me around on, with a camera as well. And there's a moment, you know, speaking of family moments, I think you'd be somewhat familiar with, Suze, when I'm hungry.
Oh, no. This is when it became a drama?
Yeah. Check it out.
Anybody out there in contact with anybody who might have any idea about lunch, if it exists on the planet for us?
There you go. Isn't that a wonderful moment?
Wow. You must be so proud of that. There's a reason why you didn't tell me about this until right now, isn't there?
Mance was hangry. What you want?
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
I was just having fun. I didn't even know you were doing this. Usually you would call me to tell me that there's a camera following you around, a la Real Housewives of the NFL draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Real pick live.
Which, by the way, maybe that's a new episode, The Real Housewives of the NFL. That's a good idea.
Let's do it.
That's a killer
idea. The NFL hosts.
That's a killer idea.
Moving
I'm available
on.
To host it.
Rich
that
is like, no,
killer.
Don't want that.
All right, let's take some phone calls, and then we'll do what's more likely here on the program. Andrew in Minneapolis has been holding on for a long time. He wants to play the win-loss game. I guess I know which team you want to do it for, Andrew, right? Do I get it right on that front in Minneapolis? You there?
Yeah, it's pretty easy to guess.
Okay, so you want to do the Minnesota Vikings. The schedule's on the screen. Mike Del Tufo, I appreciate the accompaniment. Andrew in Minneapolis, let me write this down so we'll know later on. Whose pick this is. All right, here we go, Andrew. First up, home for the Buccaneers. What do you think your Vikings do?
That's a win.
All right. At the Philadelphia Eagles, short week. Remember what happened last year? Sorry to bring that up when you had that game in Philly. What happens this time around?
Yeah, that's also going to be a loss.
Okay, got it. Home for the Chargers.
Home for the Chargers?
Yes, sir.
That's going to be a sneaky little win for us.
Sneaky little win. By the way, that's a great song. Who sang Sneaky Little Win? Is that Alanis Morissette, Sneaky Little
Sneaky
Win?
Sneaky Little Win.
All right. At Callum
Waylon Jennings.
Okay, very good. I guess we come from different musical interests. At Carolina, 2-1, you do what at Carolina?
That's going to be a win.
3-1, going home to Kansas for Kansas City.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be a
lot. All right. 3-2 at the Chicago Bears.
That's going to be a win.
4-2 home for the 49ers on a Monday night.
Yikes. At home, I'm going to say a win.
All right. Hey, Kirk Cousins under the light win right there. 1-2. 5-2 at the Green Bay Packers.
That's a win.
6-2 at the Falcons.
That's a win.
7-2 home for the Saints.
That's a win.
8-2 at the Broncos.
I think that might be a sneaky loss.
All right. 8-3 home for the Bears on a Monday night.
That's a win.
9-3 coming out of the bye at the Raiders.
I'll call it a win.
10-3 at the Bengals.
At Bengals, no, yeah, that's a lot.
10-4 home for the Lions.
Home for the Lions, that's a win.
11-4 home for the Packers on a Sunday night on New Year's Eve. The ball drops or not? What do you got?
Oh, it's dropping real hard for us. That's a win.
That's a win. Oh, my goodness. And then at the Detroit Lions.
We're going to end the year on a sour note, and that's going to be a loss.
12-5, Minnesota Vikings, according to Andrew.
But also, our starters aren't going to be playing that game. So.
Okay, understood. Okay. Yeah. What do you have to play that for? Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. All right, thank you for the call. Andrew in Minneapolis, 12-5 for the Vikings. Man, TJ, I give you the floor.
I just find it amazing that for all the crap that the Cowboys fans get, Susie, I gave the Cowboys less wins than any caller who has called in and played this game. Like, we've got Jake Tapper saying the Eagles are 16-1.
Exactly.
I was the only one who was realistic.
Quincy Isaiah has the Lions 13-4.
13-4. I had Cowboys 11-6. I want to redo it.
TJ, you were dead on with
it. I want to redo.
Nobody beats Nick and Corona's 15-2 prediction for his Denver Broncos.
I mean, what are we doing?
That's Broncos.
Crazy.
Really?
I mean,
Corbin in Texas had the Ravens going 13-4.
Bruce Arians has a response to that.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Thank you very much.
For that one.
TJ had the Cowboys going 11-6.
Yeah, I would have changed my mind.
Terzo and Iowa had the 49ers going 12-5. Mike That's in North Carolina had the Giants going 11-6, and so did our friend Al.
Oh, okay. So the Giants, so the NFC East, at least we're realistic.
Yeah, yeah, except for Jake. I don't know. 16-1 for the Eagles, right?
I mean, what do we
It could happen.
What do we do?
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, what's more likely right here on the Rich Eisen Show? Susie's got it. And then Mark Cabali of The Athletic to talk about the Steelers, who have just had a stellar preseason. Let's take one more and then get ready for what's more likely, okay? Let's take one more call. Justin in Maryland, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
I am fine. I am told you would like to play the win-loss game as well. Your team of choice is?
The Jaguars.
Oh, we have not had one win-loss for the Jaguars. Okay.
Duval County representing.
Okay, Duval. Let's see if Justin gets lost in the madness as well right here. Do we have music for Justin?
He's up already.
Let me guess, Rich. 13-4.
Oh, no, stop. Don't put wins in his mouth. First up, at the Indianapolis Colts.
I saw it yesterday. That's a W.
Okay. Home for the Chiefs.
That's a no.
That's a loss. Okay. Home for the Texans.
W.
2-1 in Wembley against the Falcons.
That's a W. That's our home turf.
Okay, and then we're going cross town. We're taking the tube to Tottenham and playing the Bills in week 5.
That's a W.
That's 4-1. Home for the Colts back in America.
That's a W.
Oh, my gosh. 5-1 at the Saints on a Thursday night short week.
That's a loss.
5-2 at the Steelers.
That's also a loss.
5-3 coming off a bye, home for the Niners.
W.
I like the way he said it, too.
That's conviction.
Like, I'm crazy for even thinking it would be anything else.
Like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, my gosh. 6-3, home for the Titans.
W.
7-3 at the Texans.
W.
8-3, home for the Bengals on a Monday night.
That is a loss.
9-4 at the Browns. Pardon me, I gave you a win, right? 8-4 at the Browns.
No, you were right. You were right.
Okay, well, now you're 9-4 coming out of the Browns, I guess. Home for the Ravens.
That is also a W. They always do me right.
Okay, 10-4 at the Buccaneers.
Win.
11-4. 11-4 at home for the Panthers.
That's a W, sir.
12-4 at the Titans.
I think you can guess that's W, sir.
13-4, Jacksonville Jaguars.
What did I tell you?
Justin in Maryland, you gave TJ the prophecy.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. 13-4.
I mean, at this rate, the Cowboys are going to finish in last place.
Exactly,
apparently,
TJ, you might not even. You might not even finish the season.
Does Justin in
I guess we're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. next year because we're going to have the first three picks.
Justin in Maryland may have shorted the Jaguars, too. Does he not remember Blake Bortles going in and blowing the doors off the Steelers in a playoff game?
He might not.
All right. 13-4. Well done.
I mean, he did pick them to beat the Titans, though, right, at the end?
Okay, let's get to it. It is our usual Friday fare, sitting in for Chris Brockman. Susie Schuster here with What's More Likely. Hit it, please.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Susie, go for it.
On this Everybody's Making the Playoffs version of yes. What's More Likely.
Thank you.
All right, who's more likely to be traded before week one, Jonathan Taylor or Trey Lance, Rich?
Oh, my gosh.
What is more likely?
What's more likely is it's Lance. You don't have to pay Lance a position, possibly breaking contract. You don't have to set a market. You're just flipping a late day draft choice, one would think, or a collection of draft choices that aren't in the top three rounds, maybe, for Trey Lance. So just that alone, you don't have to cut up a new contract and you don't have to pay a lot in draft choices. That alone is what's counting against Taylor. So I'll say Trey Lance, but I'm going to say neither. I'm going to say both start the season where they are respectively.
Yeah, and it sounds like everybody that you've had on says that it's better for Trey Lance to stay put anyway.
That's right. And I appreciate you saying I've had them on. Personally, I think we've had them on.
Wow. Oh, thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing the spotlight.
You're welcome.
Do appreciate that. All right, what's more likely, Rich? Patriots and Titans. We're talking about who's more likely to play the spoiler in their division.
You know, Pats, this guy.
Or Titans.
Come on.
I think the Pats, right?
What a masshole thumb on the scale question right there. Come on. Play spoiler.
Let's go.
I'll say the Titans, and I would say that directly to Brockman's face. Come on, man.
The boss played in Foxborough last night, by the way.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad that he's
first of three sets.
There you go.
He did it for my brother for his birthday.
Okay.
But it was nice.
Did your brother go to the boss on his birthday?
Yeah. Complained about the set list.
Okay. Well, that sounds a lot like your brother.
Yep.
All due respect. I'll say the Titans, though, because there's one team to play spoiler to. And if you beat them both times, potentially, because Derrick Henry's running down the Jaguars' throats as he's always done, with the exception of last year. So the other way around, you got to play spoiler on three teams that have better rosters than yours, with all due respect. So I'll say the Titans, but I like Chris's little wink and a nod from Kansas City in absentia.
And also, Rich, that's why I asked about the Titans and Jaguars with their last caller. It seems he's forgotten. Derrick Henry usually has a 99-yard touchdown every time he plays them.
So. Understood.
Also, we all know what happens when Rich says, with all due respect, right? We all know what happens.
I can be disrespectful. I can be as disrespectful as I'd like. What's next? What else?
All right, Bills and Bears. Which quarterback's more likely to rush for more touchdowns this season, Rich? Josh Allen or Justin Fields?
I'll say Justin Fields, because I think Josh Allen's got himself some running backs who can pop that thing in there from 5 yards out. Singletary and Moss out, and Damian Harris and Latavius Murray in, and I think he's going to have Dalton Kincaid help him. I'm just going to be consistent. I've been saying this for weeks. I think he's got more red zone options than just him plowing in there. And I'll just say Justin Fields is going to have to score more. So, that's the way I'll go. And I read somewhere that there's some talk in Chicago that Foreman might be a surprise cut on Tuesday because of Rashawn Johnson being the rookie fourth rounder that they chose at the running back spot.
Really?
Having a nice preseason. But we'll see how that goes. I'll say Justin Fields. What else, Suze?
All right, who's more likely to catch more touchdowns this year, Travis Kelce or any two Browns receivers?
That's a good one.
That's really good.
I'm going to go Kelce. I'm going to go Travis Kelce. You know? So, with all due respect to my fellow Wolverine, Peoples Jones, you know, and Donovan and Amari Cooper. That's a good one. That's funny.
I think Watson's going to have a season, so.
You do?
I do.
You do?
I've got some insider info from the Browns.
Oh, my God. Your boy Nate Segura is talking him up.
He's hyping him up a little bit to me. Right. And by the way.
If I had Nathan do the win-loss game, can we have him call in on next week to do the win-loss game on behalf of the Browns?
Can he do that?
Will he go 13-4? Will he get caught up? Will he get caught up in it?
No, he's an employee. He probably should have him going 17-0, to be honest with you. But I'll find out.
All right. Suze, what's next over there?
What's more likely, guys? Which team is more likely to win their division, the Seahawks or the Packers? And I'm going to guess Packers for you, because you love Jordan Love.
Well, I just think that they're, again, you have to say that they have an easier path than the 49ers in front. I like the Lions, though, a lot. I'm going to say the Packers for the moment and talk a little bit more about the Seahawks in the third hour of the program. I made a mental note to make a mental note.
Okay.
So I'm going to mentally note that I want to remove the pin in this in the third hour. And I'll say just again, just that the fact that the Niners are there, and I know that I just said earlier I'm taking the Titans because they just have to get past one team in order to succeed in Jacksonville. And that I'm saying the same. It's just that the 49ers are pretty damn stout. So I'll just say that the Packers have are more likely to win their division than Seattle.
All right. Chris left me with some with a parenthetical here.
Okay.
Skewing positive. So know that that's an advance.
This is his intent.
Right. Okay. Skewing positive.
He's giving you direction.
I like that. Which quarterback is more likely to throw less interceptions this season? Jimmy G or Dak?
I'll go Dak. I think he's going to fix it.
He better.
And Jimmy G just throws it in between the numbers, just like he's just throwing to one guy. And there's not a bunch of defenders around his one guy. He does that frequently. I'll go Dak have fewer interceptions this year. That's what I'm going to do.
I hope you're right.
Because okay. I believe in Dak. I still have the cape on for Dak. And I'll let you know when I take it off.
Well, you won't.
You're telling me that he's not going to cause me to.
Like I said.
So maybe I won't say a word about it this year. But I'm still caping for Dak right now.
6 of the 15 picks last year went off receivers' hands.
There you go.
You eliminate that, that's 9. We're not even having this discussion.
Oh, yeah. They'll catch everything thrown his way. There won't be a single tip ball based on what we saw last year.
Nah, we're going to
understand. Just even cut that by half.
Right? Brandon Cooks is
in
the house.
And as Mike Hoskins pointed out, Chris rarely skews positive, so we should maybe make a mental note to make a mental note about that.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Ever.
He's never wrong.
All right, Rams and Broncos.
Are there any more parentheses, or were parentheses free for the rest of what's more likely?
I don't think
likely?
He's giving me any more direction on this sounds one, good. But there's always time. Text, emails.
Understood.
Which quarterback are you more likely to have more faith in to return to potential Hall of Fame form, Matthew Stafford or Russell Wilson?
Stafford. I said it.
Oh, man. Rich.
You and said you hit the table.
You said it with your chest, too.
That's emphatic. That was emphatic.
With your chest.
You said it together.
Rich Eisen, with your chest.
I think Stafford has good weaponry. How about that? I think Kupp. I like Van Jefferson. I'm zigging.
Not giving Sean Payton any props.
I'm zigging. Everyone's zagging.
Come on.
I think it's going to take a little bit more time for Russ. I do think Russ eventually returns to better form.
Yeah.
But Hall of Fame form, I don't know. I don't know. I can't wait to see what this looks like. I hope I'm wrong. Last year I said I need to see it to believe it. I'm going to go there again. Hopefully Jerry Jeudy comes back before October.
Right.
Based on what you heard yesterday and being carted off with a hamstring injury. Oh, my gosh.
And, well, Stafford has his number one guy back.
I know.
From his hamstring. So
you got one more over there, Suze? You got one more?
Yeah, hold on. Okay. Mike's going to tee me up on this. Ready?
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
And so I need drama. Okay. I need melodrama. Mm-hmm. Maybe something dark, Mikey. Give me something. Go from happy NFL films music to something melodramatic. What do you have?
A minute before the Heart Out in the Radio Hour.
What's
asking
more likely
Mike to do
to be
something.
The bigger New York disappointment in 2023, Rich?
All right.
The Jets.
All right.
Or the Giants, Rich?
Giants, Suze. Giants.
Rock me negative, baby.
Giants. Skewing. Is he skewing again? Are we skewing? Without the parentheses?
I may have gotten a little whisper in my ear to go negative.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Mikey,
what's more likely?
By the way,
you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
Thank you, Coach Sala.
Factual.
Yes. By the way, yes, it is more likely, and that's not just waving a pom-pom or cheerleader. It's more likely that the Giants will be disappointing based on last year than the expectations for the Jets this year.
The sweat is coming.
It is not. Yeah, there's no sweat. Nervous. I'm sweat-free. That ends what's more likely. Great job, Suze. Skewing,
thank you.
I'm skewing positive.
Nice job, Suze.
Thank you.
Suze, you got to give me a little prep for that. I mean,
see, I see.
Mikey, I had you ready.
Oh, my gosh.
Suze, you expect a DJ. I
flop sweated a little.
Mark Cabali of The Athletic talking Steelers, hour 3. She's accusing me of sweating, and she's turning to Mike Del Tufo and asking for specific tone of music with the time counting down.
I wanted something depressing.
And you're saying I'm sweating.
The horrible comment I said earlier.
I really miss Brockman. Give me some music,
Suze,
Mike.
I wanted to go
dark and depressing to say.
We play NFL films music for that. You can't go. There's no dark and depressing.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm not DJ Michael Dean.
No, there's NFL films dark and depressing music.
There is?
Oh, yeah. I used to have to comb through it in Bristol to find something dark and depressing when you're writing a script about an injury.
Oh, I thought you were just looking out the window for dark and depressing.
For where?
In Bristol, Connecticut.
Oh, it was so dark and depressing. Oh God!
Oh my God! Look out! I'm already. Oh.
Counted the minutes so I could get in the car. Bristol in the rearview mirror.
Oh, careful!
Well,
That's how Keith once got suspended, right? He talked to me.
They don't want me. I don't have to worry about it.
He talked poorly about Bristol on Kilbourne Show.
He did.
KO got suspended for that. Can you believe that?
I drove past Bristol once.
And you kept going.
Hey, I will say this, though. Suze, you and I met in Bristol.
We did. Yeah,
our three children may not exist if we hadn't met in Bristol.
That's true.
Think about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
We met.
Oh, I got stories.
No, you don't. We're out of time.
Susie.
We're out of time. As a matter of fact, we're going to cancel the third hour of the show. We are so out of time on that subject matter.
I love it. Rich doesn't want stories.
No, we're not canceling it.
Rich doesn't want stories.
Mark Cabali of The Athletic when
now
we come back.
Now we're just sweating.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.